Okay.
All right, this is casual night here. I'll call or order the December meeting for the Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. And I guess we could start with one thing, just simply approval of the minute and then recess. Not approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
All right. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, let's, is there a motion to recess until we have a room available?
Bob, so just continue.
Keep going.
Recess when they come in.
Yeah, Bob, that's great.
Sure, I mean, we can go ahead.
Yeah, we can.
All right, yeah, I mean, might as well go ahead. We actually have two kind of interesting discussions, so I, you know, it is worth kind of being a little more formal, I think, on the discussions here. But anyway, let's go ahead to agenda item number three, which is approval of the minutes. Just take a second and we'll go ahead and look at the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the November 5th minutes? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're at public comments. Is there, I think we have somebody here.
I'm at least the public right now.
All right, I believe you got to state your name.
I'm Bill Moore.
Bill Moore.
I'm president of Ocean Dunes Homeowners Association. Okay. I had been down in Unit 2002 at Ocean Dunes. 2003, excuse me. All right, for coming. So, anyway, I'm here to follow up on my treasurer dinner with you guys previously, Adam Bill. And he talked to you about getting no parking signs on the main throughfit on our side down there to stop some of the additional traffic. I know, for example, that the county, the state has told you that it's not their issue. If you guys want to make a motion to do that, they're okay with it. I also know that... they said if you put permanent signs up there that make a full-time decision, they'll pay for it. If it's part-time, it's on you guys. So I just want to push the issue that we would like those signs, and we'd like it enforced.
All right. Again, we'll have a discussion on that because it is on the agenda. So is there anybody else in the public that wants to comment about any of our items? Okay, we'll close the public comment part of the agenda. We're on old business. Actually, we might be able to get through this whole thing here. So, old business. And first item, 5A, is parking on Highway 421. So why don't you go ahead and fill us in and kind of discuss what your conversations with the state was.
I met a friend of mine who works for the DOT down here. Kind of aware of some of the issues we might have that are seen with parking. Met him and Anthony Gonzalez down there in front of Fort Fisher, which we should do. Kind of walk the area and see what y'all were addressing, y'all's concerns. He took all that information back, gave it to the gentleman, gave me the name of the gentleman to call. He was very familiar with the area. He's very prompt in calling him, actually. And he sent me all the information that I emailed out as soon as I got it. And he said it's pretty much up to the town what we would like to do. We can block it all, no parking, we can limit it, we can restrict it around the entrances to Ocean Dunes or wherever. It's going to be up to the town to decide.
And then that was just not for Ocean Dunes, that's for all of 421. So we could look at kind of a master parking plan for the whole 421, it sounds like, not just Ocean Dunes.
This is correct.
Can I ask you a question? Folks understand that of the parking sign that's down there, that as you, let's say you're coming north, you're past Fort Fisher on the left, the museum, and you make that little sweeping turn, come on up past, close to your place, and there's the beach access, and not far from that, there's a sign that says, no parking in the bike lane. Does that mean just on the asphalt part of the
yes.
bike lane? So from the where the bike lane stops, all the grass, that's free range.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the bike lane is separate from the right-of-way, the grassy area.
Correct. And one other, you brought up CAMA. The way that DOT interprets it, CAMA is beach access. We can, it's pedestrian. It is foot traffic, like we talked about in the last meeting. So you can restrict parking, but you can't do anything to impede foot traffic to the beach access.
Mr. Whitley, I saw the email, but I'm sorry, I lost track of it over the holidays. Are we able, would the town be enforcing those no parking on 421?
Yes, they'll put the signs up, however we want, but then it's up to the town to enforce it.
It sounds like all, from, if I remember in your email, basically all we have to do is pass an ordinance, you know, the appropriate ordinance, and then basically notify them that we pass an ordinance and provide a copy of the ordinance, and they'll put the sign up and we enforce it. And that's for all of the state highway here, 421 or... So I was really surprised that they were going to be so cooperative on that, to be honest.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, I guess the issue here, seems to me, is do we want to address directly the specific location regarding Seaview, or do we want to maybe think about an overall parking strategy for all of 421? Again, the reason we're looking at parking is because the council designated, asked us to do it. It's not normally a planning and zoning issue. You know, it certainly has overlap, but we were specifically asked to look at this issue, and that's why we are looking at it. So I guess the discussion right now is, with this information, what do we do? Do we, you know, pass it back to Tony's committee? I'll recommend doing that, or, you know, report back to the council with what we have found, and then have the council decide who wants to go ahead and pursue this. I mean, to me, I think that this is now satisfying the requirements for what the council is asking us to do. And I think it might be most appropriate to simply come and tell the council what we have found, and then the council can decide if they want to address it, if they want us to address it, if they want us to address it specifically for this particular area, for, you know, all 421, whether they want to give it to Tony's committee, form a new committee. Seems to me that would be kind of the most appropriate thing, at least from my suggestion.
Is council asking us for a recommendation or just a report back?
I forget exactly what... I think it was kind of an informal thing that they were asking.
I think it was more, let's check into it.
Yeah, let's check into it. So I think this is at a point where we probably, you know, I'd be a little nervous about going any further.
Yeah.
But now that we found out what we can do, council may turn it back to us and say, go ahead and pursue it. But, you know, I think this is a good reporting time to council, given that council sometimes doesn't like us to go too far.
Sure.
There's the other
consent.
The council is also dealing with the other parking issue of paid parking in the local community. And Mr. Lozinski met with some people from Bowman who have paid parking meters that seems to be working for their small community. And so not only this parking along 421, I think there's a larger parking situation or issue on the minds of the council.
And I'll throw out one opinion that I think it would be a mistake to allow this to grow into such a massive project and study every inch of 421. I think our commission and council has an opportunity to address a segment of the community, a specific need, immediate need. But again, if it's not appropriate for us to give a recommendation, I don't know what we do with that issue. But I mean, this could be a 2-year study and then nothing happens at Ocean Dunes, and where it's fairly obvious some action could be taken there.
Well, you know, I mean, certainly this is, I mean, we can go back to the council with a specific recommendation as part of what we found. And if that's the preference of the commission, we can certainly do that. I mean, let's go ahead and talk about it. I mean, do we want to have a recommendation with the discussion of our findings with the council specifically to recommend no parking signs, you know, in front of the subdivision? Or
what? Label it a test case. Well, that'd be my inclination.
Yeah, because you're right, because we block people, we prohibit it there, then it's going to push those people somewhere else. They're going to go back to the neighborhoods, they're going to go to the other side of 421. So it could just be shifting the issue to another environment.
But, I mean, the bottom line is that we did whatever council asked us to do. assess the report back, what could be done that we've already done?
I think that really reporting your findings and making a recommendation are almost one and the same here, because it's an either-or situation. Either it is what it is, or you can put up the signs, which seems to be an easy thing to accomplish. If you report your findings, it's council's responsibility to determine policy. If they want some help from the planning committee in determining that policy, they'll let you know. But it's really kind of up to council to determine what to do on 421. I didn't hear the original assignment. They're going back with the only feasible, simple option that there is. Seems like you've done your job.
Well, 421 is a long stretch.
Yes, it is.
And we've got to write an ordinance in order to get the DOT to come down here and say, here's a sign between sign A and sign B, there's no parking. So the ordinance has to be written such that it details that distance and which side of the road and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I could foresee where that's A to B is for people that live right here. Oh, we want it. We don't want parking in front of us. And then the next group doesn't want parking in front of them. And I don't think we want to get into writing a new ordinance every 30 days because somebody else has the sign, wants the sign to know the
Yeah.
One thing, I know what you're talking about, but remember, from about End Avenue North, you have right away where you can get onto a car. Everywhere else you got curbs coming around End Avenue. And I guess around E Avenue South, I may not be wrong, I don't know how far the curb is going to be on.
It's E.
Huh? It's E. It is E. So you're really not talking about, you know, once you start at E Avenue, to pick up Asian Dunes, because you got Air Force Base, and I guess that's their issue regardless. You don't think you touch that. But it looked like at least on the south end, it ought to be sort of consistent, because it will be, like you said, the people up this way from Asian Dunes will be wanting to do it. And I know you're going to have a problem off of Curie Village Way when they build these townhomes down here. People park along there to see watch it all.
And right now they park. They're on dirt, you know, and so yeah, during the summer, that once those townhomes are built, they're going to start parking there.
Yeah, it's free. Sort of,
the Curie Beach and the other one are private there, and so that's going to put a lot of pressure. Also, if we don't, it's going to put a lot of pressure on those private lots also.
Oh yeah, we already have that property right now because we got hundreds of people that we can go across.
Right.
But all the point I'm saying is, you're going to have the same problem, don't you? We already got the problem where they rent this houses out right there at Henry Beach. There'd be condos, cars parked in the bicycle lane every weekend. They were there this week. I just want to say,
it's a bigger issue than simply this one.
All you're going to do is have me come back and readdress it, I'm afraid, if you don't. But it isn't that. It isn't like the hometown of Curie Beach, because you got your curving and all that restricts, you know, what the right way is.
And I think there are other committees that are involved. I mean, we're just asked to look at this, basically. Mm-hmm. But I think if we come up with a set of recommendations that don't include other committees, and, I think it's a little late. Now, if the council wants us to do it, that would be fine. But again, I think my suggestion is simply report back to the council, because this is a good finding. I mean, we've done our work. We report back to the council that, in fact, we have a lot of flexibility and leeway in terms of deciding the parking issue, that the state doesn't have any problem, and simply report and simply ask, okay, what would you like as a council now to address this problem? You know, we can continue to look at it, come up with some specific recommendations. We can go further and actually write the ordinance associated with those specific recommendations. We can form a joint committee with Tony's group. To me, that seems to satisfy, I think, what the council's looking for. Because, again, the council has always been a little nervous about going further than what they asked us to do in some of these issues.
Appreciate that.
So,
because you do such a good job.
Yes. So anyway, does somebody want to make a motion related to the parking on Highway 421?
I'll make a motion that we simply report our findings regarding what Joe found with his discussion with DOT.
Okay, I'll second that. Any further discussion? Okay, would that be on the council's next agenda in 2 weeks?
I can request it. Yeah, I think we have time.
I think we want to move pretty quickly on this, so let's go ahead and put that on the agenda. All right, very good. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed? Okay. Next item is a rental certificate. Again, Jim has put together a... Do you get a copy of the minutes? A summary of this.
You may walk through this real quick?
Yeah. Why don't you kind of go ahead and walk through it. But before you do that, just to kind of remind everybody, since we do have a little bit of an audience here, this is a first-cut straw man type of proposal for a rental certificate ordinance that I passed out last time. We didn't discuss it last time. We just passed it out. And Mr. Eldridge was kind enough to say he would kind of look through it and see what he, from the legal perspective, what some of the issues are there are related to it. So you might want to walk us through what you found.
I'd be glad to, Chairman. Thank you. As stated in the current proposed draft, the concept is to license or permit, issue a permit allowing owners of vacation homes to rent those residences out during the season. But of course, being a beach community, you have a lot of issues and associated with that, which are kind of summarized from the draft in the first paragraph. Excessive noise, conduct, traffic, congestion, illegal parking, things that I've heard at each of the meetings that I've been to. So the ordinance addresses a problem, and it regulates that problem by setting forth certain requirements that have to be complied with in order to get the permit, in order to keep the permit. And all of that is pursuant to the authority delegated by the General Assembly to the town to promote public health, the police power to promote public health, safety, and welfare. So all that's fine. The next thing you look at are the constitutional ramifications of that. And the most interesting one in this case was the Commerce Clause under the United States Constitution. But just to track the little memo here, there's no First Amendment issues because there's nothing in the proposed draft that regulates speech. It's content neutral, therefore no First Amendment issues. Likewise, no Equal Protection Clause issues because the owners are not a suspect class like religion, sex, or race, and that renting your vacation home is not a fundamental right that the ordinance impinges upon. The Commerce Clause was quite interesting because I assumed that some of these homes are owned by out-of-state owners, and therefore it's interstate commerce when they're renting them out, and subdivisions like the town are not allowed to violate that clause by discriminating against interstate commerce in favor of local commerce. But we don't have that problem here because of the checklist based on the case. The ordinance regulates local rentals. It's an activity with a substantial nexus with the town. I'm on the top of page 2 now. The license and fee, which I recommend that a fee is a reasonable fee, just like a rezoning application, be applied to help mitigate the administrative cost. The license and fee are fairly apportioned among the class of people that you're regulating. The ordinance does not discriminate against interstate commerce, and regulating home rentals is equivalent to or aligned with your authority, the town's authority, to protect public health, safety, or welfare. There were, let me digress, I do think the term vacation home rentals or something like that needs a definition. I do think, as the current draft asked the question, that there should be an application fee. But the two things that I did notice, due process rights and penalties. Let's start with penalties first. The current draft walks you through five sets of penalties. The fourth step being the maximum fine of $1,000, the fifth one being revocation. If you look at the criminal code under the general statutes, the maximum penalty that a local ordinance is allowed to impose is $500. So I've recommended in number four below that you delete provision number four in the penalty provisions and leave it at step three, which is the maximum fine of $500. And I cite the statutes that support that recommendation. I also recommend deleting the revocation provision from the penalty section and separately provide that revoking a permit is a matter to be decided by council in a noticed hearing. There's a couple reasons I suggest that. There's nothing in the criminal code statute pertaining to penalties for violating a local ordinance is that 14-4 referenced under number 4 on page 2. It outlines what penalties are applicable, and there's nothing in there about revocation. So taking it out, I think, more has the ordinance conform more closely with that particular statute. More importantly, if you look at other parts of the code, and I cite the example of a massage business, if a massage business license gets revoked, it's done so by town council in a duly assembled and noticed meeting. And if you look at the provisions for that, and again I cite those provisions, I think it's 8-46 of the code, the subject license holder can come in and present evidence and testimony in support of why his license should not be revoked. That's the due process that you want to have, and I think it's important to make that clear in the ordinance. Likewise, I think you need to insert a provision, again, tracking another part of the code, very chapter one, as a matter of fact, that if a permit is denied or a penalty is imposed, I think the ordinance ought to clearly specify that the denied applicant or the cited violator can request an administrative hearing in accordance with section 1-15D of the code. That's notice and hearing, that's basic due process right now. That's not specifically provided for in the ordinance. Now, you can read the code in such a way that you still get there. But I don't think I think it's prudent and reasonable to have the ordinance be very clear about that. So my suggestion is that you might want to reword it if you're going to present it to council to conform to the town codes and format. Provide for a reasonable application fee. Note that the penalties in the current draft are civil, not criminal. You can still process that violation as a criminal violation, but I've been doing municipal law for 15 years, and I've never seen, it's always civil to me. I've never seen anybody dragged in front of a mayor or a magistrate on a criminal misdemeanor charge. It's all about the penalties. Under number four, delete the $1,000 penalty since the statute seemed to suggest rather clearly that the maximum is $500. Number five, delete the revocation provision from penalties and make it a separate section as a matter to be cited by council in the noticed hearing. And finally, number six, insert a provision providing for administrative hearings for denied permits and contesting citations and penalties. If the commission wants me to work with the chairman and make those revisions, I'll be glad to do that if that's the will of the commission.
I have one question. When I put this together originally, again, the council wanted us to look at this, but they had some specific requests in terms of it being some kind of a self-reporting process. So,
yeah.
And I think it's written in that way. It's certainly not as onerous as a lot of the other ones I've looked at. One of the issues is the application fee, as you talked about, and I didn't put that in there because I didn't quite understand how the new North Carolina rule about not having a privilege fee would apply for this. So this wouldn't be this because this is technically kind of a privilege fee to some extent for a rental, short-term rental. Would that fall, would we have a problem having an application fee under the new rule for privilege fees?
No, I think that I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure we could find precise language either by statutory definition or case law that makes a clear distinction between the privilege license issued by a town for an industry to operate within its jurisdiction, which is, I guess, in 2015 no longer applicable, versus a typical application fee when you submit an application for a permit. For example, if I don't know if this code does it, but if I had a situation where I was applying for a permit to organize and run a special event, I would assume there'd be an application fee because staff is going to take some time to go through that. So I see a clear distinction. Couldn't cite you chapter and verse tonight, but to me it's a clear distinction and does not run that risk.
John, would you have an idea what a fair application fee would be for something like this? So if we want to have, kind of tweak the language a little bit, actually have a number in there for something like this?
Depends on what's involved with the application process. What you expect
to do. It's not a whole lot. I mean, it is in there. You might want to look at that.
And they talk paperwork, and you just check through, you know.
It's pretty much, that's what it is.
50 bucks, you know. If I'm going out, if this is going to turn into something that
you're... No, you're not doing any inspections.
I'm going to have to go out there and do a yearly inspection.
No. In fact, we specifically didn't want to have that.
Chairman, let me ask, do people have to get a permit to put up a sign in this town?
Depends on the sign size.
Is there a permit fee? Is there an application fee for that?
It's $25.
So, I think it's $50 right in line.
All right. Is there any further discussion on this from the commission? I would make a proposal or recommendation. I'm not sure if we have to make a formal, actually probably do have to make a motion, that legal goes ahead and makes these revisions as recommended and then comes back to us next meeting. Second, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Do you want to do a motion to recess? Or are they getting ready to come back in?
Yeah, have you already started?
Well,
We only have one more short item.
There is no update on CU. They're still working on all that.
Okay.
I'm going to be here for next month.
Oh, well,
is there any new business?
I could give a short little update.
Who seconded that?
Okay.
A gentleman from New Power was looking about where they're going to do the electric. Gentleman from the property management company that they are, I chatted with a little bit. And they just about got all the permits done, a couple more. Hope to have this done by the end of the year. The power grid will be laid in starting first of the year. Break down on the buildings and their plan is to start with the side where the pool, go to pool grid.
Is there anything further? All right, let me quickly, let's go ahead and finish. Is there any new business? Is there any member items? Is there a motion to adjourn? Okay, is there a second? By the way, I'm going to be.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be.